discipline, we, can I say it? We're, our flesh is really lazy, isn't it? We're always looking for the easy route, eh? Boy, tough crowd, Sig. I mean, I'm getting looks up here. I'm wondering, am I gone too long? Well, I sure hope you look better next week. Anyways, I missed that. I didn't hear that. Okay, here we go. Dive in. We got to get some meat and potatoes. Okay, what's our purpose? What is our purpose in this fast? I got a nice text yesterday that asked me the question. I haven't been around, the text said, or maybe I wasn't listening or whatever, but what's the purpose of our corporate fast? Let me say this. As you look into the Old Testament, you'll find 30, 35 different occasions where they're fast. Here's a few examples. The queen calls a fast. Queen Esther calls a fast. The nation of Israel is going to be annihilated, and Queen Esther calls her people to fast, okay? To fend off the destruction that's coming, okay? She calls the whole, it's a corporate fast. She calls her people to fast. Jehoshaphat, he calls the people to fast. Jerusalem's going to be wiped out. An army's coming to overtake them. What does he do? Calls for repentance and fasting to all the people. Are you with me? In the Old Testament, two occasions. Hannah wanted a baby. She wanted a baby, didn't have a baby. She prayed and fasted unto the Lord, and God blessed her with a little guy named Samuel. Became one of the greatest prophets out of prayer and fasting. David, we're talking individual. Hannah, nobody else included. Hannah seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting. David also. His child was very gravely ill. He prayed and fasted. Child died. We won't go into the details there, but David had sinned. This child was born, and the repercussions of that, the baby was going to die. David interceded, prayed and fasting. The answer was no. My point is this, individual fasts. Then, not only that, but we move into the New Testament. So that's Old Testament. You could go 35 different times where people were praying and fasting. Now we move into this New Testament. As I always say, I start with, did Jesus do it? Jesus is expecting me to do it. And then he taught very little on fasting, but here's one verse that he did say. Matthew chapter 9. 14 and 15 or 15 and 16? Matthew chapter 9. Jesus is specifically asked the question about fasting. Ooh. Slipping up there, Sarah, or what's going on? Here we go. Verse 14. John the Baptist's disciples came and asked Jesus, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? What's going on here? Flip the page. Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will. Did Jesus leave? He's gone. They're fasting. But go on. I don't know if I gave you the verses after this. Then he goes on and talks about new wineskins and old wineskins. Old covenant, new covenant. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. My point is this. As I come in to follow the Lord today, I look at what did Jesus do and say, and then I build from there. I go back into the Old Testament. I'm one that shoots for targets and heading corporate fast. Hey, let's hit this, and that. But first I start individually. And to me, there's a key to this scripture all about fasting is that it's all about the bridegroom. And as we sang this morning all about the heart, our heart and our passion and everything. And that's where I want myself and this congregation that our hearts be longing and yearning to experience and know the bridegroom, the depth of his love and grace for us. Right now, he's seated on the right hand of the Father. I'm down here. And that's the heart I want, is that I long for that day. Wow, someday. Do you remember when you're engaged and getting ready to be married? Yeah, you remember? Holy smokes. Anybody married here? Brandy, you're the bride. There's one. I can look at her. I remember her in the days. Yes, yes. And Matthew, I can imagine. Yes, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. And so think back to that and the physical and that. And now, my, how much more Christ? Like, if you know Christ, if we're part of his church and his bride, dang, one day we're going to be united with him. And Jesus points that out. The bridegroom's left, but someday you and I, we're going to be with the bridegroom forever. Let your heart get enraptured in that and just get excited about that as you're going into your fasting. That's the one we're talking to and communicating with. That's where we start. Because I can get into Targets and I can say, hey, my daughter needs healing. And I can, you know, get into that and I'm going to be praying about that and boom, 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 boom. But it all starts first with my heart towards my Creator, my King, my God. Second and third, as important they are, they're not as important as my heart being attached to my bridegroom. Amen to that one? I saw a few of you there. Maybe the first part of the sermon would put it in the fire and just go with that, eh? And get people excited about going before the Lord. Anyways, where we're going. Here's three things, because we do want purposes. And I brought these up the last time we fasted and prayed. But Matthew chapter 22, 37. You want a goal in this fasting? You want to write it in your journal and say, bang, there's a verse. I'm going to spend my time seeking the Lord on this one. Go with that one. Jesus replied, Al, I come to him. What's the most important commandment, Lord? 613, can you give me one? He says, yeah, Al, by the way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Wow, what a purpose of a church to pursue Christ. That, Lord, can you help me fulfill that in my life? Can your Spirit work in me that I'm starting to nail that one a bit more? Loving God with everything that I am and have. Total surrender to the Lord. There's a good cause, eh? Talk about Old Testament fasting. Nehemiah. I don't know if I gave it to you. Maybe not. Don't go there, Sarah. But Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah, here it is. He's the cupbearer to the king. He tastes the wine. If it's bad wine, somebody's trying to poison the king, Nehemiah will have a sip and down he'll go. And the king said, bad batch of wine. Poor Nehemiah. But Nehemiah loved God. And Nehemiah was in a country far away, and he caught word that back in Jerusalem, the walls were busted down. Actually, I think I wanted you to put up there, didn't I? Yeah, let's read it. So Nehemiah is in a faraway country, and he catches word that things are going wrong in his hometown of Jerusalem. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, here we go, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed for the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I love this part. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, my father's house, have committed against you. There's a lot in that, in the story, and it goes on as God leads him back and everything. But here's, as I look at Old Testament fasting and prayer, I try to pull a principle out there. Obviously, if I go into the story, I'm not going to say, well, hey, how does this apply to the New Testament? Let's go build a wall around Crow's Nest Pass or whatever. You know, you got to be careful what you're doing. But the principle I can take out is the heart of Nehemiah. And there he is. He hears. He's got her made where he's at. He's the king's cupbearer. He's got probably a good pension. Life's looking good for him. And what happens? His heart. Do you see his heart when he hears about his brothers back in Jerusalem? And he's grieved. And he gets right in there and he doesn't say, Lord, those bums, they're bad guys and they deserve. Da, 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 da. No, he includes himself. He's an Israelite. Our sins set us off to Babylon. It was collectively our sins. And I love that heart of Nehemiah. And as we go into our fast and as we seek in the Lord, we want God's heart towards people. First, our heart to be transformed, continually changed, but we want his heart towards other people. It can't end with just us. As the Lord moves upon our lives and hearts and transform, we want that for others. If my relationship with Christ is any good, why wouldn't I want to pass it on to the next person? So there's a great objective. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second one is found in John chapter 15, verse 9. And it's a continuation from Nehemiah's heart towards the people of Jerusalem, as well as including himself in the sins. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Better keep going. Again, Jesus said, whoops, no, that's not the next verse. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another. In Matthew chapter 22, it said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is saying here, as he's loved his disciples, and he's about to lay down his life for them, he says, guys, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And that starts in the body of Christ, in his body, in his bride. That starts here with us. As we learn and continue to learn to love one another with all our faults, people will look at that and they say, wow, they will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. Old Testament scripture, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Next verse, 11. I have told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And here we go, verse 12. My command is this. Al, you're a really simple guy. I'll just give you one. Love each other as I have loved you. That's the word to the church. Meditate on this one as number two as you go into your prayer and fasting. Lord, can you teach me more about this? Better yet, can you empower me more to walk in this and be the miracle that people need in their lives? Isaiah 58, there's a whole chapter on Isaiah 58 back in the Old Testament. The people of Israel, they were really into fasting. But these fasts they were going on, they ended up fighting and hurting one. Can you imagine that, a brawl breaking out while you're fasting? Crazy. Read Isaiah 58. And by the way, read Isaiah 58 this week. Read the whole book of Esther. Read the whole book of Nehemiah. These are awesome books to read as you're on your fast and you realize, whoa, something, it all started with this little denying myself, seeking the face of God. Isaiah 58, read that one. In a nutshell, these guys, again, they had wrong motives. They were doing it for selfish reasons. They ended up in brawls. And God says to them, is that the kind of fast I called you to? Almost like the New Testament where they were gathered in, Paul was teaching the Corinthians. And there they're sharing the body of Christ, and they're neglecting one another. Some are coming in and getting hammered, and the others are overeating, and it's just terrible. And Paul says, oh my goodness. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 58, they're going on a fast. And they're treating their workers, and it's just a mess. And God says, this is the fast. I never called you to do that. And he ends up calling, says, it's how you treat your people. Justice. Showing kindness to the poor, helping them out. It's all about people. God lives and works through us that we might be a blessing to other people. And they had it all wrong. And he says, man, if you guys quit doing that, start doing this, and you'll see what I do over here. And incredible, read Isaiah 58, what God promised the Israelites as they turned to him and repented and really got into fasting from the heart unto God that flows out to people. Isaiah 58. And finally, John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said this, as the Father, this is after the resurrection, he meets with his disciples. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jonah chapter 3, we want to go Old Testament. I am sending you. What does this mean? We've just talked about receiving love from God, learning to love the body of Christ, his body. Now he says, I'm sending you. sending you outside the church walls. Then the word, oh, this is in Jonah now. Remember the Old Testament story where Jonah, chapter 1 and 2, Jonah is the prophet of God. He gets the word from God, go to Nineveh. I got a word for them. Go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes the opposite direction. And he ends up getting a little trouble, but God has mercy and rescues him from there. And then he shows up finally the second time around. He says, hey, keep going to Nineveh. So Jonah's going to go to Nineveh. Then the word, you took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, there we go. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Is that what I'm supposed to do in the Crow's Nest Pass this week? 40 days, Crow's Nest. You got to be careful. Interpretation and application is very important. The Ninevites believed God. These people are unbelievers. They believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. These are his words. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. That's a total fast. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Here we go. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. My point here is they simply turned to God. They didn't know what was going to happen, but maybe, hopefully, God would show compassion. Well, here's the Father that loves us and cares for Nineveh. He did not want judgment to fall. He sent Jonah to give them the warning that they might repent, and they were blessed in their repentance, and God did not bring that calamity. That's the heart of God. That's God's heart towards people. People that turned their back on him or maybe even didn't know them in some cases. God loves people more than anything. You know that sitting in this church that he loves you. He loves the people outside this church just like he loves you. Would there be an amen to that one? And guess who he's tapping on the shoulder to take them the good news? A little louder? Isn't that a big word? Us. It's true, folks. It's true. Let's put up Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And so as we, Jesus said in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel 28, he said, therefore go. Go into all the world. Go into the Crow's Nest Pass. Be salt and light in our community. And here's where we wind up ending the sermon this morning. Matthew 9, 35 and 38. Picture Jesus in Crow's Nest Pass. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages in the Crow's Nest Pass, Blairmore, Coleman, Bellevue, Hillcrest, and Frank, from Burmese to the border, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, of which we are, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I hope all of us write that scripture down and pray over it this week and let God work it into our lives. All of us. Jesus loves the Crow's Nest Pass. He loves the people in the Crow's Nest Pass. And he wants to take the good news of his plan of salvation. He wants to work through you and I to bring it to them. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your son Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And thank you for his words, God. Father, we desire to walk in your ways. And we just ask, Lord, for your strength this week. I ask, Father, that you would speak to each heart and they would work out their plan with you on what to set aside, how often. They would seek your face, all of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each one that it would be truly a spiritual journey, hand in hand with you through the highs and the lows and everything in between, Lord, that day by day, hour by hour, you would walk with us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to transform our hearts as we invite you in. You'd make us the people of God. Lord, not only that, but as we come through the fast, as we experience your mercy and grace and your refreshing and your renewing, and Lord, by the end of it, there would be some, our church would be stronger in the Lord and in your mighty power. Not only would we be proclaiming the gospel in word, but also in deed, Lord, as you commissioned your church to pray for the sick, to heal bodies, Lord, to speak to those bodies and see them respond in the name of the Lord. And Father, we want to move more in that direction where we depend on you, and then we stand back and we watch and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. And that you would receive glory, Lord. We pray, Lord, that our church would be bearing much fruit for the honor and glory of our King. Thank you, Lord, for the hour, the time, this season that we live in, that you've placed us here in the Crow's Nest Pass. We truly want to be your disciples, your hands and feet extended, experiencing the Spirit of God upon our lives to bring you fruit. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. I think there's water downstairs. You're more than welcome. I don't know what's down there, but the altar.